ዋጋ ሊኖራቸው የሚችለው በሥራ ትርጉም እንዲገለጹ በማድረግ ተከብረውና ተጠብቀው ሲገኙ ብቻ ነው። ወይስ ይህንን ቃል ኪዳን እንዲያስከብሩና እንዲያስፈጽሙ የተፈረደባቸው ደካሞችና ትንንሾች መንግስታት ናቸው?
Frustration, oh yes.
Talk Sunday, and I did a talk a month ago about
only fear dies, love only ascends. What is the culmination of your life? Tonight, what I'm going to do is talk about contentment and happiness, feeling wonderful and completeness, because they are states of being that we are, that make us the image and likeness of God, so to speak. And this is something that's not really easy to understand or grasp, given the shape or condition or concern of the world. One of the nice things is with in conversations with God, and yesterday I went up with four other ladies. I had a bevy of babes in my car, and we went up and we listened to what we participated with Neil Donald Walsh's meditation that he does the first Monday of every month, I guess for the rest of the year. And so I went with some ladies, and there were a total of eight of us as the audience. With Neil, it made nine in 2016, and when it's added, it's a nine, and there were nine of us. So it was kind of, I thought it was apropos, perfect number. And one of the things that Neil shared with us was that he is not concerned about how many people show up. If it's one, great. If it's a bunch, great. It doesn't matter. In the raw material, it says, if you have assisted one aspect of the creation, count ye not the numbers, because you have, if you have assisted one aspect of the creation, you have assisted the entire creation, count ye not the numbers. I'm also of the opinion that that is a wise approach. And the reason why I say that is because I've been doing this show at this time frame for about 4 weeks, I guess, and I get nobody coming into the show or the chat room at all, and it makes no difference to me if people listen to the sound of my voice or not. It simply does not. My only wrong responsibility is to be it, know it, share it, and ascend it, and that is my entire focus. So in one sense, it doesn't matter if anyone else listens to the sound of my voice, because in a fundamental context, everybody has intuition, which is the voice of God, psychic abilities, which is planetary according to the ego and the body. And then everybody has the capacity to channel, which is a connected voice to the universe. I got to a point in my life when the only reading material that I was interested in had to do with collectives that ascended, like the Seth, which is a collective of 1,012 souls that ascended. The Raw is a collective of 6 million souls that ascended. Anyway, let's talk about contentment, because what I find is that as long as a person is discontent, it becomes difficult for that person to have a sense of happiness. The Dalai Lama states that happiness is my religion, and I really like that. I thought that is very, very cool. Happiness is my contentment. And I experienced that when I moved in, when I was standing in the driveway before I moved into my house in Taos, New Mexico. I was standing in the driveway and I felt a sense of contentment as my life. And I noticed that I was feeling happy as a result of that. About a week later, the follow-up experience was knowing that I am complete in and of myself. I amness is kind of a misnomer, because I amness is to the specific, but there's also the universal. And lost my train of thought. But anyway, the cool thing is that I experienced contentment, and it gave me a sense of happiness. And then I experienced completeness. And in the context of my, within the context of my life and time, the follow-up experience was completeness. And the interesting distinction is that the difference between contentment and completeness is that from the perspective of completeness, there is happiness. From the perspective of knowing that one is completed and of oneself, there is a sense of feeling wonderful. And so what's really nice is is that I do a daily practice now in which I simply state, I gratefully appreciate my life, content, happy, complete, feeling wonderful, compassionate, and kind. And that's what I work on. And I allow myself to be it, know it, and then if the opportunity presents itself, I share it with others in some meaningful way. And I do it in a way to where I try not to draw attention to myself. Usually a good way to express happiness and feeling wonderful is just to smile. And what is interesting is, what is interesting is that within the context of smiling, this feeling happy and feeling wonderful is expressed through the simple act of smiling. And yes, there is all kind of energy that a person will feel within the context of life that corresponds to happiness and feeling wonderful. And I call it the art of goofiness, because one feels silly and goofy. And then I get to where, what would I say, that I try to be funny, and I try to clown around a little bit of that kind of stuff. If nothing else, just to lighten the mood, because there is an element within the context of the planet, according to negative service polarity, where ponderousness is what people are faced with within the context of their life on a fairly consistent basis. And so the idea is that can we move from levels of a hostility within the psyche of the self to where we are feeling comfortable, feeling good, feeling happy, feeling wonderful, and so on. Because the really interesting thing about our human experience is that love is felt as every emotion, light is thought as every idea within the medium of energy. At this level of the creation, there's positive energy, there's negative energy, so there's going to be positive and negative emotions, positive and negative thoughts, there's going to be positive and negative action. One of the things that I have found in my experience is that as we evolve ourselves with this kind of experience, we simply pay attention to what we feel as the negative, what we feel as the positive, and it's called service polarity. And service polarity is, there's negative service polarity and positive service polarity. Jesus, Buddha, Zoroaster were examples of positive service polarity. Genghis Khan, Attila the Hun, Hitler were demonstrations of negative service polarity. Negative service polarity basically focuses on individuality to the exclusion, negation, aversion of all else. The positive flip side of exclusion, negation, aversion, which is exclusion of God, negation of life, and aversion to being human according to the ideal, is the inclusion of God, the affirmation of being human according to the ideal. And we don't, as a rule, do a very good job of feeling something real, think something true, and sharing that in ways that are kind and conducive. One of the things that I have discovered is that love as emotion, light as color, gives the sense of time and space as a densification that allows for representation to exist in a given format. In our case, we're human beings on a planet. It also has 10 million other species that are also going about doing exactly the same thing that we are. In this sense, everything that exists on this planet as this planet is the image and likeness of God. So you have the treeness of God, you have the birdness of God, you have the fishness of God, you have the mushroomness of God, the flower of God, the human beingness of God, the whale of God, the water of God, the air of God, and so on. And it makes it very, very useful in this regard it makes it very useful in this regard, because how do I conduct my affairs within the context of the planet when it comes to others. And so what becomes interesting is that within the composition or constitution of our life, we have a really cool thing. And so it makes it very, very useful. I do have two callers, and I'm long-term friends of both of them. Ince has called in, and Astrid has called in. And if either of these ladies would like to call into the show, just put your hand up, just press 1, and you'll be the one to share your wisdom, because this is an interactive show and that kind of thing. So it becomes an interesting thing. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to bring, we're going to liven things up, and that's true. All righty, well, this is what we're going to do. Okay, let's see if I can do this. Here we go. So, 702, you are live on Welcome to My Point of View, and I know who you are. This is my friend, Brilliant Essence, and we haven't touched base before.
Oh, doggy.
But, you know, there's a little tidbit that I'll share with people that people might not be aware of, is I think about almost every single person I have met in the 59 years of my life. I think about from time to time, and any time that I'm on Blog Talk Radio, I always think about the people that I used to be involved with as far as shows, as far as hosting shows, as far as participating with shows, and so on. So how is the youngster from France doing? And I just picked up some French wines yesterday, and I thought of you. I bought 4 different French wines at the grocery outlet in Wairika, and everyone that I had, I said, you know, I wish Astrid was here so that she could share this wine with me, because she's from France. Allez-vous français?
Oui, mon chéri.
There you go.
Happy New Year.
Right. Well, Happy New Year to you. Now, I understand that you moved from the Santa Cruz Mountains to, I believe it is, I can't think of the
Las
name
Vegas.
Of it. It's in Nevada. Las Vegas, thank you. Reno kept coming to mind. I said, no, it's the other gambling town. Now, how is that working out for you?
The City of Lights and a lot of spirits, Doug. A lot of spirits out here. I'm so happy to hear you. I am so, me too.
I
think
was
of
quite surprised,
everybody.
Quite surprised to see Brilliant Essence, because that's a great handle. Because ultimately we are all brilliant essences, all being who we are, doing what
that
we do,
correct.
Dancing in the light, having fun in the light, and hopefully smiling and dancing and feeling happy, feeling wonderful, and all that kind of good stuff.
That
so how long have
right.
you been in Sin City, young lady?
I have been here 4 months, 4 months from the beginning
oh, cool.
of the
so
school year. Yep.
Oh, cool. And is it working out for you? Are you liking
of
it?
Of course it is.
Cool.
You know, I manifest whatever I want. So
That's exactly right.
We follow spirit's
cool.
guidance. We listen. We heed
right.
the call. We do
cool.
our work. We help others. And
right.
We have
That's
fun
exactly
in
right.
the process.
And that's an important detail. We have fun in the process of being happy, feeling wonderful, being content, knowing that we're complete, knowing that we can be kind, we can get along, and we can contribute to others and hopefully be connected to things in a spiritual way so that everything makes sense in the overall scheme of things, which is pretty cool. After champagne from France. Oh yeah.
You know, for Christmas I received a gift of a couple of bottles of champagne. They happen to be very, very inexpensive here.
Oh,
so
cool.
French champagne, of course, you know.
Right.
I The only other sparkling wine that I enjoy, because I know your wines and such, is the Italian Prosecco.
It's Prosecco. It's called Prosecco.
Prosecco, that's
and
correct.
Prosecco, here's a little tidbit for people who might not know. Champagne is called Champagne because it is made in the Champagne region of France.
Correct.
Prosecco is to Italy because it is what they have decided in Italy. And I don't know that Prosecco is specific to a region. It is specific to Italy. So Italy calls its champagne Prosecco. Every place else, I happen to like Frisane Cordon Negro Brut, which is made in Spain, and it is a sparkling wine.
Oh, I've never had that.
Yeah, and it's I have enjoyed it because it's inexpensive. Here in Mount Shasta, it's $13 a bottle and all that kind of good stuff. And it's pretty cool. It's pretty good stuff. I'm considered a wine connoisseur with people that know me because I have a photographic memory and I drink wine and I remember how wines taste. And so it gives me a little bit of experience to talk about that. But I say, let's not talk. Let's drink. Let's drink the wine. Let's taste.
You know, wine has so many
attributes.
Have you ever talked about the rejuvenation attributes of wine? People are all about rejuvenating, making their skin better.
Right.
You know,
right.
And grape is old grape.
Oh yeah, that's one of the things that's really cool is that. The grapes, it's interesting, it can be thought of as grape juice, if you will, that has a little bit of kick to it, because the interesting thing about alcohol is beers have an alcohol content of 4 to 8% as a rule. Wine has an alcohol content that goes anywhere from 9% to, as a rule, 14%, with one exception. Privitivo, which is an Italian wine, has an alcohol content of as high as 22%. If you go up 2 more percent, wine goes from being a wine to being a sherry. Sherry is wine that has an alcohol content of 24%.
Right.
Like 24
And they're very, very nice. Yeah,
that's right.
But it's sherry you sip, you know, you sip sherry. It's a delicatessen.
Right. It's one of the things about brandy and whiskey and bourbon and sherry is they are drunk very, very slowly as a rule. It's one of the they're drunk unless you're doing shots and then you're doing things very, very quickly. But as a rule, a wine is meant to be drunk slow. A sherry is meant to be drunk slow, and champagne is good to sip and enjoy. It's just really cool. You know, the other thing that's cool about alcohol is it has its own, there are different glasses used for different things. Champagne is served in a champagne glass, which is thin and narrow and about 6 inches tall. That's what Cabernet is a red wine, and it's served in a specific glass. Chardonnay is a white wine. It's served in a sparkling glass. Martinis are served in a specific glass. Shots are served in a specific glass. And all I know about this is after I've had about 5 or 6 gallons of wine or fifths of vodka, I'm feeling happy, feeling very, 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 very well.
Do a disclaimer right now, darling.
I'm just kidding.
You're way over the top.
I like to limit my wine consumption to about basically 8 to 12 ounces in a 3 to 4 hour period. And I don't drink hard liquor and I don't drink beer.
No,
I don't. Drink wine.
Sometimes, you know, I don't drink hard liquor. It messes with the brain.
Well, the jars, the spirit, I like to think of it as jarring to one's spirituality. Wine tends to be spirituality, and beer and liquor tend not to be. That's been my experience.
Right. Beer for me, once in a blue moon, like once every 6 months,
right.
I'll enjoy a beer.
Right.
In lieu of, like, before a really late dinner, you know, because it's,
right.
it's, I enjoy beers that have, it's like a meal, basically, you
right.
know, the good
mm-hmm.
ones, the good hops. And it, I don't know much about the creation of beer other than
right.
the monk aspect of it. You know how monks
right.
used to make beers?
Right.
And
right.
It used to be medicinal, too.
Right. There were actually, the way that beers were made early on is that did have a medicinal quality to it, which was part of the reason why they made beer. It was almost like beer was a way of fermenting something to help clean elements out of the body that were basically either harmful or that type of thing. The interesting thing is that beer has an older history than wine. They have been making beers for hundreds of years before they started making wine, which is pretty cool. And there are lots and lots with the microbreweries that have come into existence in the last, say, 20, 25 years. There are just thousands of beers that you can go into. There's a store here in Mount Shasta that has a cooler that's about two-thirds of a block long, and all it is are different kinds of beers. And it's amazing how many types of beers that they carry in the store. It's, like, amazing. I personally don't like the taste of beer. I don't particularly like it.
Right.
But I do really like, in fact, I decided after this show, I bought two bottles of them. They're Bordeaux wines from France, and I decided that I have to try this wine. So after I end
made
the show.
Made and bottled in the chateau?
Bottled
in the chateau?
They
you have
are,
to have a bottle that's made, produced, and bottled
right.
in the chateau.
Right, right. And that's what it's got a very, very cool label. It's very, very sophisticated. And that's one of the interesting thing about French wines. French wines have five different kinds of labels that are used to designate the kind of stature the wine has. There's like a Grand Cru stature and that type of thing. And you can only use certain elements depending on how the wine is, where it's produced, how it's made, and so on. And there's five different levels. From what I understand, there's five different levels to the quality of wine. There are those that are at the top, those that are at the bottom, and it designates a type of quality. And France, more so than any other country, is very, very strict on what you can put on the label as far as the type of designation that, like a Grand Cru, is considered the top of the line.
Yes.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah,
so
and the year, they're
cool.
very careful to the year, too, because some years
right.
are wetter than others.
Right.
One of the wines that I do not like that is kind of a yearly sensation. You know, every
right.
year at a certain time, they open up the new, oh gosh, what is it called? I've got a brain slap here, which is normal because you're called Dougie Slap.
That's what I was just going to say, the very thing. I said, you're talking to Dougie Slap. So everybody has a brain slap at some point in their life or another when I'm around. It's the slap factor in life. It's got to keep
it's
you laughing or it's got to get
I
you excited. There you go. There you go.
What's yep. that young wine that they bring out every year?
I know exactly what you're talking about, and I have had it, and I'm not real big on that per se.
No.
Because it tends to be more of a fanciful wine rather than something that really celebrates the thing. I think it's like a Julier wine.
No. It's got a very specific name. It's
right.
It'll come.
And I might be thinking
maybe.
Of the.
No,
but,
Julien.
It's
a good wine. Julien.
Yeah.
Saint Julien.
Yeah.
Julien is a very good wine.
Because I know exactly the wine that you're talking about because I have bought it and I have drunk it and they do
it
that.
Comes,
it's a specialty
it comes
wine
every
and it comes
year.
Out. Right.
It comes every year at harvest time. It's the very first
right.
wine that comes out at harvest time. And the thing is, it does not last. You cannot, it doesn't age.
Well, the way that they make it, right, the way that they make it is it's not made, so the tannins, basically the tannins which give the ageability to a wine are not allowed to stay very long in the wine. So it's a wine that's meant, it's almost like it's a white wine approach to red wine in that it's meant to be, the grapes are harvested, crushed, and bottled, and this is the case of white wine. Every once in a while, white wine will be aged in oaks. Sauternes have the exception of being one of the few white wines that are designed to age for decades. I bought five.
Yeah, the German
of,
white wines
yeah.
and the Alsatian from the region
right.
of Alsace, which
right.
you know, has come back and forth between the Germans and the French during World War One
right.
and World War Two. In
right.
that region, they have managed to age white wine pretty well, and they have very good
right.
Rieslings, for example, is an example
right.
of an aged white wine.
Yeah, I'm a real fan of German Rieslings. I'm also a fan of French Alsace wines as well. And the thing that's cool about wines is that there are so many wineries producing wines in all different kinds of countries. Some countries do better with wines than others. Italy does a good job. Germany does a good job. France does a good job. Spain and Portugal do good jobs. Chile and Argentina do good jobs.
Yeah.
Australia
yeah.
does a good job.
Yes.
The United States does a good job. And
well,
it's always fun.
That's debatable.
To try
that's
different
debatable.
Wines.
That's debatable. I don't like their mixed. What, like, you know, corporations will mix grapes from different vineyards and bottle
right.
it up. I'm not a fan of those. But anyway,
right. And to be perfectly
know,
honest, it's like Yellowtail is the largest producer of wine in Australia, and I'm not really fond of mass-produced wines. I like boutique wines that usually make 1,500 cases of wine or less. Yellowtail.
You know, there's an American guy that an American who went to France and
uh-huh.
who does, I believe it's wine, but now I'm not sure if it's wine.
Right.
But anyway, he decided, he was an IT geek of some sorts, and he decided to completely change his life and buy a little reserve in a very small reserve, and he does his bottling and everything in the very, very old-fashioned way. Like he brings up the barrels from the basement by hand on his own.
Right.
It's phenomenal. It's absolutely
right.
phenomenal. And his wines have been, I didn't know this was all about wine tonight, but let's get back to what's
okay.
been happening in your life. You had another person on the call. Does she want to join into the conversation?
No, she's driving. She's on her way home. She was here in Mount Jeff,
okay.
and now she's going back to Lincoln City. So she is driving, but she just called in to listen to the show. She's been a fan of mine for a little over 14 months. And,
oh, how
the
sweet!
Nice thing is,
what's
is
her
that,
name?
Her name is Intz, Intz.
Oh,
she
nice.
She likes to tell people like inspiration, but Intz, Intz has a different pronunciation than inspiration. The S and the Z don't work for me, but she likes to tell that to everyone. And
I like it.
I haven't.
Hi, Intz.
Yeah, it's Intz. Her name is Intz.
Yeah, Intz. Intz. Hi, Intz. It's edgy.
It's
I like
very,
it.
It's a very unusual name. It's a very cool name. Because nobody
yeah.
on the planet has a name like that, and I'm convinced that she's from another planet.
Oh, for sure.
There you
At
go.
Least
but then, of course, the
of
soul
one.
Is from all other kinds of places. So what's been going on for you in Las Vegas? Because it's a completely different vibe. It's a completely
oh,
it's
gosh.
One of the fastest growing cities in the United States.
Is it?
Yeah. Las Vegas is one of the fastest growing cities in the United States, which is pretty pretty interesting. Pretty
you know,
cool,
I'm clueless about certain things like that, but what I do know
right.
is that I was definitely guided by spirit. I put out a wish
right.
list. I said I needed this, this, and that. And, of course, I got everything, you know, because I know
right.
how to manifest. So the great news is that we're very content, which is the theme of your show. We're very content where we are. We have activities
right.
that we want to have. We have a house.
Right.
And we have everything
right.
that we need.
Right.
We're very, very content.
Cool.
And,
and that's cool.
I don't... Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I'm very excited about it. It is a total change. I was in the mountains.
Right.
I was living as a monk, you know.
Yeah, you were
in
the Santa Cruz Mountains, and the Santa Cruz Mountains are very cool. I've been down to the Santa Cruz Mountains, and I've always liked being in mountains. That's what I like about being here in Mount Shasta is that the mountain is in my backyard.
Well, there's a lot of there are a lot of mountains around Las Vegas too, with a ton
right.
of spiritual activity and soul
right.
activity. It's a very profound,
cool.
different activity because it's more of a desert, but
right.
and different vibes. But I can tell
right.
you that there's a lot of spirits going on here. And the kids
right.
have seen them. I mean, they're in and out
right.
of the house all the time. And
right.
we're doing well.
Cool.
Last year I published I published my first published book,
cool.
which is called
Congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you. It was inspired by you know a caller who was asking about. What happened to their loved ones in the afterlife after they died. And I said, you know, I was talking over the phone, and I said, oh, my gosh, I could write a book about this. And my friend at the time said, well, why don't you? And I was like, well, okay, why don't I? So I did.
Yeah,
and,
that's it came out.
It's called What's Next?
Right.
I'm sure if you follow me on Facebook, you've already learned all about it. We did a road trip with the kids this summer because I enjoy taking the kids out and showing them what the USA is about, where you know what lands they're growing in, and so we did a road trip and promoted the book along
right.
the way and did group readings and. A couple of events and a lot of camping out, and it was amazing. It was really, really cool. And then we dashed over to Las Vegas, found a house, and here we are.
Right. Cool. And so do you find that within the composition of Las Vegas, besides having the gambler's life, so to speak, there's also a kind of like a spiritual community where people to get together for spiritual events and opportunities for growth.
I find that, first of all, we live in the west side of Las Vegas, which is very secluded. It's very protected. We do not go ever on the strip. I'm not a gambler anyway, so
right.
it doesn't interest me to go there anyway.
You just took a gamble in moving to Las Vegas is all.
I wouldn't call it a gamble. I never thought
right.
about it as a gamble. I honestly
right.
I just followed my heart and my spirit guidance, really.
Right.
And you know, for all those who want to manifest who are listening in and want to manifest what they want next in life,
right.
the way I did it was I laid it out. I said, well, this is, I didn't know where. I didn't want to pinpoint exactly where, but I asked for, I wanted friends, I wanted support, I wanted great schools for my kids, I wanted them to be able to walk or bike to school. I wanted a pool behind the house. I wanted a nice house. I wanted neighbors. I wanted social activities. I wanted to play tennis more. I wanted culture.
Cool.
I wanted theater. And I got it all, you know? I got it all.
That's what's nice about being in that area is all of those things that you listed. Well, Las Vegas has all of that and more, which is very, very cool. Because that's, you know, when you stop and think about it, that's what we, unlike the Buddhists who believe that it's the cessation of dire desires, when the raw were asked that question, they said, all you have is desire, experience, and then pondering the experience. And the simple fact is that we're human beings on a planet and we can have any kind of experience that we want. It's not about isolating ourselves in an exclusionary circumstance or condition, but it's about what's the flavor of life within the context of these kinds of experiences. Playing tennis is absolutely wonderful. I like to swim. I like to dance. I like to play music. And so within the context of my spirituality, I work at having as much a human experience as anything else. And, yes, I like to be involved with things that are very spiritual as well.
Well, when I meet you, when I finally get together with you, we have to go dancing out.
Well, there you go. Well, here's one of the interesting things about that is there is a band called Blue Relish, and their music is the best dance music in Mount Shasta. And after being here for a year and a half, I listened to them about 3 weeks ago, and I actually got up and danced about six
Yay.
Or seven songs. And then just last week, I went to Blue Relish again on New Year's Eve, and I danced to about 15 songs because I absolutely love to dance.
Aw, that's awesome.
Yep, so
we'll have to
set up a time of getting together to drinking French wines and dancing.
Dancing, yay.
Yep.
That would be really
cool. Oh, yeah,
because
I'm older and I can't dance as hard as I used to because I get winded fairly quickly, but I absolutely enjoy getting out on the dance floor and busting a move.
Yay! Love
busting
it.
A move. Yeah.
So
yeah. Oh, yeah. No, it's absolutely great.
You've been out there for a year and a half now, huh? It seems It seems like yesterday you were, I was telling you, I feel like you're moving west. I feel like you're moving west.
Right.
I think it's upper, you know, north of San Francisco for sure, up in the mountains somewhere.
Oh, yeah. So, the thing that I like about being here in Mount Shasta is that there's a real sense of connected integration. But there's also what I think of as clarity of insight, which is very cool, and what I refer to as the oneness of synchronicity, which is the right thing at the right time for the right reason with the right person or people. And
well,
it's
you know,
very
when
cool.
When I went to Mount Shasta, we went there for a brief 4-day weekend, I believe, something like that. We were on the lake, beautiful setting.
Right.
And I was just hanging out on the deck. It was cool. It was like in February, so it was kind of chilly. But I was hanging out on the deck on my own, talking to spirit as usual. And this maiden, lake maiden, Celtic. I truly believe she's Celtic. So I have not done my homework on the history of who she may be. But she started...
The Lady of the Lake.
It was amazing, Doug. She, you know, I was just talking to spirit and engaging whoever was out there. And she started talking in quatrains, in poem,
Interesting.
In poesy.
Oh, cool.
And it began as a simple quatrain, and then it turned out to be a full-blown-out song, and it was the most beautiful.
Right.
It was
are
the
you
most
sure,
beautiful message.
Right. Are you sure she wasn't Shakespeare in drag?
What?
I couldn't resist that. I just couldn't resist that. No, that's
very cool. Has Shakespeare gone to Mount Shasta? I don't know about that.
I don't know. That's why I was kind of curious, because you just never know, you know. It's like there's that freedom of spirit to where, you know, you just never...
At the time, I didn't think about Shakespeare. I just, you know, I know Celtic spirits, so I recognized her as a Celtic spirit, but she was just chanting / singing this poetry that was
and
I couldn't get a pad of paper fast enough. I did eventually get a piece of paper, and I wrote a quatrain of hers down, but I'm afraid I lost it. It was the most amazing, beautiful, enchanting, you know, relationship.
Cool.
Whilst you visit a place and the spirit comes to you and sings you a message from the universe, you know. It was absolutely enchanting.
Right. Are you doing any blog talk radio shows of your own?
No. Not lately.
I took
a hiatus on that.
I did that. I actually ran into a glitch where one of the search engines wouldn't allow me to log in, and I finally had to take my tower to a computer store. So I was off of blog talk radio for about 3 years. And then they finally figured out that I could go in through Firefox. I had to go in through Google Chrome. And once I started going in, then I had no problem at all.
Oh, no. I went into a hiatus two winters ago and focused on other, you know, other things that I was doing. And, Anna, I don't know if you remember Anna the astrologer.
I remember Anna.
She's the most amazing astrologer I've ever met. And we're very good friends, and she keeps saying, Astrid, you've got to get your shows back on, and you've got to do video.
Right.
And I'm like, I don't know if I'm ready for that. You know, I'm not a show-off, so... I love talking, and I love connecting with people, and I love meeting people, and I'm always doing my work, teaching and healing. I went to Arkansas with the Earth Keepers. Do you know that group?
I do not. I've heard of the group, but I don't know anything. People have mentioned it in passing, but I haven't really looked into it or followed up on it, but
they're phenomenal.
It's a really connected and grounded group.
They're a family. The one thing that I can say about them is that they are a true, full blown out, earth keeping family. And they came to me. I was worried about Tiburon is the founder, and his wife was going through some cancer issues, so I was reaching out to her and saying, hey, how are you and everything, and she says, we're doing an event in Arkansas with crystals, and I'm like, that sounds, you know, I love crystals, I always work with crystals, and she said, and her, you know, they basically asked me to be a master healer at their event, so I did that just before Thanksgiving. And so
now,
we went to Arkansas.
Are you doing any, are you doing any psychic work, channeling, any of that kind of stuff in Las Vegas, or are you waiting? Are you doing any of that kind of stuff?
Well, I always do it privately. You know, I'm always doing every day. Every day I do my work. Publicly, we are preparing a book gala, and I'm thinking of doing it around Valentine's Day. So we'll see, you know. I just got in touch with Barnes & Nobles that are putting my books on the shelves here in Las Vegas, so I'm super excited about that. And I told them, you know, I really want to, I have the opportunity, is the fact, I have the opportunity to do a book gala with all the media, right. blah blah blah. And but I want to. I would love to do it in Barnes and Noble. I am always in Barnes and Noble. Right. I love Barnes and Noble. I can't say enough of Barnes and Noble. I'm so happy that they're still alive. You know. And it so happens that they have a store, a couple of stores here that do those events. So I'm going to reach out and see if they're interested in doing that with me. But I'd also like to involve a charity because I'm always looking to service others, and I want to have a charity involved and to have, because I've got the media, I know I have the media behind me. I want the I want to put forward, you know, some other good cause. You know, I've been involved with the United Nations for a long time. Recently with the Rotary Club here, so I really want to extend that offering to a charity that can benefit from having peace. And like you say, you know, this show is about contentment, finding contentment and happiness through the messages that come from me, from the prism that I am.
Yeah, because I have found that one of the things that's nice about being in my chest is that it's like every day is better than today was better than yesterday was better than the day before that, and so on. And I really work on feeling positive and good about my life as I am, without feeling that it needs to be something else, somewhere else involved with this and that and that type of thing. So I stay very, very grounded and very, very focused within the context of my life, just being me as I am. And then
and
I
that's
also,
invaluable. That is so, that is being centered in who you are.
Right.
And that's very, and very important.
The other thing that I have incorporated, and I finally got into an apartment that's big enough, and I have three sets of freestanding pyramids that are big enough to meditate in. I've got two double pyramids, which is like a 5 foot by 4 foot, and then outside of that is 6 foot by 7 foot. That's one.
Doug, you only
then
need one.
Oh, I know. You only need one, but I have one that's actually four. It's 4 feet, 5 feet, 6 feet, 7 feet, and they're all freestanding, and it's so cool how I have it set up, and I meditate in that, and I have stones and plants and that kind of stuff, and I just really like it. It's like this one that I have in the room with my computer. It's got my vision board, which is just pictures on boards of experiences that I want. It's got stones.
Let me give you a Dougie slap on that one. You know, 2016 is all about servicing others. You know that.
This is 2016.
Okay. So my guess is that you're going to have people wanting to borrow at least one of those pyramids, which is great. You're going to share, you know. But let other people borrow them.
Right, because that's the thing is that, you know, when you think of the esoteric path or the work that's done, there's simply knowing the self according to the design, serving others as the positive path, and the culminating experience is aspiring to collectively ascend. That's the positive culmination of a life experience of a humanoid positive population is collective ascension. And so part of the work that I do is working on knowing the self according to its design, serving others from a place of humility, transparency, authenticity, and then assisting people in working together so that there can be cooperation, community, getting along, being and kind. Because making a contribution is as important as anything else that we do.
You know who you should speak to, Doug? You should go speak to universities, college.
Right. Yeah.
Degree,
it was just
people.
Saying that I should start. That I should start doing the college circuit or university circuit. And
but,
it's just you
but,
know
but
I
let me coach
I do
you.
A
let
talk.
Let me listen to me, darling. Listen to me. But what you got to do is don't talk as if you're writing. You talk a lot as if you're writing, and it's kind of the old English way where the sentences go one after another, after another, after another. You need a breather. You need to breathe between your sentences because they will have more impact. Do you understand
right.
what I'm saying? And,
yeah, because I've
and
started
you gotta
doing
have fun.
You got.
We have to,
yeah.
as audience, we have to sense that you're having fun talking.
Right.
We have
oh,
to
yeah, well, I've started doing programs. I give talks now. I've been giving talks once a month for the last, my third talk was yesterday or Sunday, actually, my third talk. And then I'm giving a talk at the Haven in Ashland, Oregon on the 3rd of February. And it includes an hour of music and then me talking for 45 minutes. And what I do is I talk very, very slowly when I'm doing these talks in front of an audience. And I try to mix it up between experience, wisdom, and making the audience laugh.
Okay, good.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Okay.
And
good.
And the nice thing is that... I've got very, very positive feedback from the last talk that I gave. There was 14 people in attendance, which
okay,
was
good.
Very, very cool. Yeah, because the
very
room
good.
Wasn't very big. And yeah, no, so it's
but,
going
but,
very,
but
very
talk
well.
As if
yeah.
it, but talk as if, like, when you take pauses and then go center yourself back and listen to the questions that they have psychically or telepathically. That will break up the monotone. That will make it more of a discussion. That
right.
will lighten things
up for you.
Well,
I have a caller. I've brought another caller in. 541, you're live. You can say something. What would you like to share?
I would like to share that he has been doing that, and that especially this last talk, he was so fantastic at doing it and really involving the audience that they got excited and they came up
oh.
with a lot of stuff and he just fed right into it.
Oh, awesome. There you go.
So he's doing exactly what you're suggesting.
Awesome, awesome.
Yeah.
I'm so happy. Hi, what's your name? Where are you calling
My
from?
My name is Ind. And I,
oh,
I
it's
live
Ind.
In Oregon.
Oh, I'm so excited to hear you. You're the special gal.
okay.
Anyway, Astrid, we're down to 2 minutes. I only do an hour show.
Oh, gosh.
And
I'm
so,
sorry to have
taken
things over.
Is there any contact information that you would like to put out there for people of how they can
oh,
get in contact
sakes,
with you?
Oh, for heaven's sakes, Doug. This isn't a social thing. It's a
well,
go
it's
ahead
and
do your
nothing
thing.
Else.
Astrid, so Google me, whatever.
There you
Astrid,
go.
That,
yeah.
Okay, good. I'll Google you. I'd like
Astrid,
to know more.
Astrid on air, if you'd like. Astrid on air.
Astrid on air.
I would love to connect with you. Yes, of course. Let's get together.
Thank you.
And Doug, I'm so happy that you're doing well. And
things are absolutely going great. They're just absolutely moving in a direction. I now give one talk a month, and I have a feeling it's going to evolve into once a week. And it's just going to. I just have a feeling that I'm transitioning from working a regular job into playing music and that type of stuff. So it's kind of exciting.
Well done. Well done. I'm behind
All right.
you. I'm behind
well,
you.
Well, thank you very much for coming to the show, and thank you for calling in and all that, because we're down to 50 seconds. So is there anything else that you would like to share before we are literally off the air?
I'm handing it over to Ince. Thank you, and so happy to have met you, Ince. And,
no, thank you, Astrid.
Well, I'm going to mute myself. Go ahead.
All righty, because, yeah, we're down to... So my question for Ince is, where are you in Oregon?
I am almost to Salem. I mean, just
okay,
a couple of miles
you get
away.
When you get to Salem, how far is Lincoln City from Salem?
About an hour.
Okay. Well, we're down to 10, 9. Okay, 54
okay,
miles.
Okay, bye.
Cool. All
great.
Right.
Okay,
well,
good.
Thank you all for calling, and we'll do it again next week. All righty. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Everyone.
Bye.
Love you, Doug. Bye, Ant.
All righty.
Bye, Ant.
You take care.
Love you, Doug.
All
nice
righty.
To meet you.
We'll
bye.
See you later. You
bye-bye.
All take care. All righty. So that's it. Well, thanks, Astrid. I wrote your phone number down because it's in the queue, and I'm going to call you at some point because now that I have your phone number with the 702 area code, we can reconnect and pick up where we left off.
Anytime, Doug. Anytime. Love
yeah.
you.
All right. Well, you take care. I love you, too. And I do this every Tuesday at this time, 6 to 7 Pacific time. So feel free to come and share and all that kind of good stuff.
Send it off with a piece of music.
All righty.
Yes.
I'll do
bye,
it.
Bye, both of you.
All righty. We'll see you later. All righty. Bye-bye now.
Okay. Bye.
Yeah!